Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. It is a good Tuesday. It is an all-star Tuesday. Brad Sussmat with you. All right. We have Pedro Gomez coming up on the show today. Pedro will join us from San Diego from the All-Star Game, the ESPN Baseball Insider. Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez. That comes up in about 15 minutes. Giancarlo Stanton last night was just unbelievable. There aren't many things in the summertime that are going on in sports that are very interesting to me. The Home Run Derby, and maybe it's because Chris Berman has been involved with it for so long, I just kind of tune it out. It's guys hitting balls a long ways, and a lot of them aren't the best hitters. But Stanton is the best hitter, and last night he was absolutely phenomenal. So we'll talk with Pedro about that. What was it I saw? It was he hit 61 home runs last night, 5.1 miles in length. That's the length of 75 football fields. 75 that he hit last night. So we'll talk with Pedro on that front.
And you have to think, Brad, when they announced that Petco was going to be the venue for this year's All-Star Game,
yeah.
I'm sure some of the home run hitters are like, oh, really? We can't have it at Coors Field or Chase Field or
Chase
Wrigley
pad.
Or Fenway or some of the other more hitter-conducive parks. Yeah, it didn't really matter to him. But there were probably some other hitters that might have gotten cheated, especially the left-handed hitters, because it can be a graveyard out there in right center field.
So. Well, when I was watching some of it last night, I was thinking back to the pitchers who wanted to do the thing and be involved in it. But, hey, Giancarlo Stanton, watching him, that was big time. Because it wasn't just that it's the biggest, baddest home run hitter in the game. And first of all, it's great to see the Padre uniforms, everybody. I mean, these are absolute moon balls that he's hitting. And so for fans to take this in, it's not like the little maybe kind of sort ofs. I mean, look at that. It's the oh my goodness.
He almost hit the scoreboard.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jumbotron out there, the video board, and that is a long, long, long ways.
Well, he hit over 27,000 feet in home runs. So think of a mountain that's 27,000 feet high, right? 75 football fields. Like, no, keep running, keep running, keep running. Imagine what he'd be like on the golf course. Like if he crushed a golf ball, if it would be one of those drive a par five and one. So I think it's great for fans. I love that side of it. Look, the All-Star games themselves, if I'm grading All-Star games, the NFL's the worst. The NBA is getting close to being really bad. The NHL doesn't get enough exposure and they play hard. The MLB All-Star Game, because they talk about how it all matters because the winner of the game gets, you know, the home field advantage in postseason in the World Series. And I look at it and say, well, if that's the case, then really have All-Stars out there. I touched on this briefly in yesterday's show. Just go up and down the roster and look at some of the names and some of the players and say to yourself, self, is this really an All-Star player? Is this really the best lineup for both sides that's out there? I'm really surprised Strasburg isn't starting tonight. I'm going to talk to Pedro about this because it's San Diego. You know, they made it all around the late Tony Gwynn, this All-Star Games. There's been a lot around Tony. Me growing up there, me being, a good friend with Tony, we were broadcast partners together. It's been hard to see that whole story unfold. It's been great, some of the stuff that I've seen that's gone out there. I had no desire to go to the game. People are like, aren't you going to go to the game? It's back home, aren't you? No. I don't need to go to Petco. And this will be the last good thing in San Diego for a while because the team's not good. And they're going to have to tear apart whatever they have because they're going to be in seller's mode, just like our hometown heroes are here. the football team over there is on a one-year deal. They're being strung along. So I think for the city of San Diego, this may be as good as it gets. They're not going to get NBA over there, and they're not going to get the NHL over there. And their golf tournament's not what our golf tournament is. They try to copy us every year. You see what goes on over in San Diego, and they start doing the same things we do with the Thunderbirds over here. So, yeah, I grew up there, but, you know, a bunch of copycatters and don't have as much sports as we do. That's why I've been here for 20-plus years. That's my little rant for today. I do want to talk to Pedro about if he's visited with Paul Goldschmidt over there. And if Goldschmidt, because Paula had the note that that Goldschmidt was changing agents. And anytime you change agents, it's not just a guy like Paul Goldschmidt doesn't just change agents. There's got to be something there behind it. He hasn't made a stink about his contract yet. But if he's made a change on that front, I've got to believe that there's more to the story than that. So Pedro, in about 8 minutes. Paul Coro is going to join us today up at the Summer League Suns. It's been fine what they've done for a couple of games. I think they're more interesting because for you fans, you get to see two of the top eight players taken in this year's NBA draft. And Bender and Chris have played a lot. Booker looks a lot better. You know, Alan Williams, a former North High kid, has been playing well. Ulis comes in. He's doing a nice job. So it's exciting for Suns fans who haven't had anything interesting to latch onto. I'm the one that just has to remind you that they're doing this against guys that, for the most part, are not even NBA players. So, yeah, Devin Booker should light everybody up. Devin Booker shouldn't even play in their final games today, isn't it, E?
Well, it's not their final game. I think that because they're guaranteed three games, okay. And they've won two.
Oh, right. So it's a tournament.
Yeah, so they'll keep. Remember last year they made it all the way to the finals and they were in Vegas for like 2.5 weeks? You don't remember that?
No, I don't. I don't.
Just like I told you over the weekend, it's 113 degrees outside. Let's all enjoy some summer league basketball.
Did the Diamondbacks have a good spring training?
They did. They were one of the better Cactus League teams.
Was there like quite a few wins that our hometown nine had?
Let's hope the Cardinals don't win a preseason game.
You're right. and did we hear a whole bunch and read a whole bunch of just absolute nonsense about how this is a sign of things to come? You've got to have a great, because if you have an awful spring or if you have an awful summer league, it just, when I hear the line of questioning after a summer league game against a bunch of scrubs, what does this do to build your confidence for the future? It doesn't do anything, man. I'm in Vegas. I'm going to go to UFC tonight. I'm going to have a good time. That's what's happening.
And just a friendly reminder, on July 12th, the Diamondbacks are 19 games behind the Giants. So
19, third worst record in all of the National League. So we'll talk with Paul Coro. Some of you may say, man, you're just dripping with cynicism. Hey, a little bit. I just came off vacation. I'm filled up. My tanks are full here. But I'm also a realist on this stuff. We've gotten into this space where the hype machine, I mean, my gosh, when I go on social media and I'm watching a game and I see something put out by a team's Twitter handle, and I know the team's Twitter handle is never going to speak truth. Like, man, this guy's turned the ball over 8 times tonight. He's had a bad night or a tough night. There's ways you can be truthful rather than just vote for this guy over and over and over and he's hitting 210 because he's one of our boys and deserves to go to the All-Star game. No, that's not how it works. Most people want truth. They don't want all this filtered garbage. Shane Doan agreed to an extension with the Coyotes late last night. And it barely caused a ripple here in town. Yeah, there's going to be the really diehards are going to say, that's so great, Doner is back. And it is. It is. Shane has had an amazing run here. I can't think of an athlete who's had a better run in the Valley, who's more well-liked and loved and respected outside of Luis Gonzalez than Shane Doan. Not everybody loved Charles. Nash went over to the Lakers and he went to Dallas. You know, yeah, Luis went over to LA. I got it. But Shane has been here through thin and thin and thinner. I wouldn't even say through thick. One really good run. And I'm pleased that he's going to be here. I think the right thing for him to do at some point is to step up to the podium and say, this is going to be my last contract, however many years it is. And then the better thing for the organization to do is, and Shane has a lifetime contract to be in the front office in the role of, I don't even want to say assistant to the president, because I think he could run a franchise.
He'd be like the Gonzo of the Coyotes.
Yeah, but you know, Luis has that assistant label to Derek.
Right.
Right. So, you know, Luis can stand on his own 2 feet.
Sure.
Shane, I think, is in that same boat where Shane to be the president of the Arizona Coyotes and just move titles around. It's not going to be any shame, but the organization has a face of the franchise for the next 20, 30 years. People still believe Luis is the face of the franchise. I go to events where Luis is being introduced to speak, and he still gets standing ovations all these years later. Okay, and Shane's done nothing in this community to harm his good name. He has done everything the right way. He's played hard. He's played reckless. And in hockey, I think you've got to have a little bit of recklessness in you. You've got to just throw your body into somebody and not worry about what the consequences are. He spilled more blood for us. Eric, is there another athlete that spilled more blood?
No.
I can't think of one.
And probably one that hasn't been as loyal, for sure.
No, that's, I mean, you could say Fitz. You could say Fitz. I get that. But I don't think Fitz takes the pounding that Shane Doan does. Now, Larry would disagree with me on that, but if you look at his position, there's plays where he just has to run up and put his hands on a player. There are other times where he's going to have people try to take his head off. Shane has that happen through an entire hockey game.
And Larry's been much closer to a title than Shane has.
No, that's right. He's actually been playing for one and had one in his grasp. All right, Pedro Gomez is next. We will chat with Pedro from San Diego. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is tonight. Pedro Gomez joins us live. He had a slick-looking tie on earlier, and I don't know if he's gone back to the hotel in shorts, flip-flops, T-shirt, whatever. We'll talk with Pedro about Giancarlo Stanton last night, tonight's All-Star Game. Diamondbacks and much more. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmann.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sesmat.
I was going to catch up with Pedro Gomez from San Diego, ESPN Baseball Insider. It is All-Star Night. I saw Pedro on the air this morning. That is a slick tie, by the way. Man.
Oh, thank you.
Very wife chosen or Pedro chosen?
Or
ESPN wish... or ESPN clothing chosen?
ESPN clothing chosen. We have a guy that helps us out with selections, and it was him.
We have a guy. So is it like every week you show up at a hotel and there's a fresh set like James Bond? Is that how that works?
No, nothing like that. It's like once a year. Once a year, They call me. They say, hey, your clothing trip is set up. You need to fly to L.A. I go to L.A., and that's where he is, and he's very good at what he does.
Do you consult?
I do. I mean, I have final say, but I'm not going to pretend like I know more than he does, so yeah. He has final say.
You ever put something on he suggests, and it looks like you got dressed in the dark?
No. Yeah. No, I think that's why he's there. He knows.
How many ties do you get a year, Pedro?
You know, we get a certain allotment, and then however we spend it, we spend it. So I usually end up getting about 7 or 8 ties a year.
Yeah. So if I were to go to the Gomez garage sale every year, would I get one of those? Because, man, you've got some good-looking stuff here.
But now I've got... you know, older boys who are interested in ties.
Ah.
So they tend to, they're siphoning them.
Were you watching Giancarlo last night just saying, I've seen a lot of things in sports that are cool or amazing feats, and this is one of them?
Absolutely. I talked about it this morning on a couple of my live hits that the 99 All-Star, the home run derby between McGuire and Sosa was pretty cool because it was coming off the summer of 98 and everything. But the difference was that was at Fenway Park. And so when they would hit a ball, it would just disappear over the green monster and you never saw it hit. anywhere. Mm-hmm. Here we saw where Giancarlo Stanton's balls were landing. And when you have guys like Clayton Kershaw and Madison Bumgarner and David Ortiz with their jaws dropping based on where those balls were hitting, that tells you right there how pretty special it was.
Did you know that he was going to be able to do that kind of display? Like, you've seen him do BP before, and you've seen some of his monster shots in a game, but the durability that he showed last night, 61 shots like that, that's not something easy to do for anybody physically. He didn't wear down.
He didn't, and it was truly amazing to watch because it's not that easy. When guys take normal batting practice, mm-hmm. you and I know, I mean, if you go to a major league game early and you watch batting practice, they take 10 to 12 swings, and then there's three more rounds of guys doing it. Then they'll take, you know, 9 swings, and then there's three more guys that do it. Then they'll cut down to 6, and then 3 more guys. So, you know, you're taking about a total of 30 to 40 swings. He hit 61 home runs last night, and that doesn't include the balls that didn't go out. So it is exhausting. It's completely different.
Yeah.
And you are going at a pretty good clip because there's not three other guys jumping in the cage after you take your 9 or 12 swings. So it is amazing. I've seen him hit some mammoth shots in BP and stuff like that. But no, I've never seen him put on a display like that.
Hmm. And were you hearing him like physically grunt and physically exert, or was it just like just a simple breath for him because he's so strong?
It was more breezy.
Wow, that's amazing, because you would think, you know, it's kind of like a tennis player where you hear the and there was none of that, huh? None of it?
No, but now when he was finished with his rounds, there was some panting.
Oh, sure.
Because he was catching his breath again. But not the grunting, not the physical grunting. And I was definitely close enough where I would have been able to hear that. You know, he's a specimen. If he ever learns some plate discipline and improves that .235 batting average, you know, you're looking at a Dave Kingman type guy, a Mark McGwire, where it was, you know, a home run or nothing. If he is able to get that batting average up to .270, .280, he could become just the most lethal player in the game, because he is the strongest player in the game. There's no question about that.
What would happen if Miami said he's available?
You know, he's kind of a one-trick pony. Mm-hmm. There would definitely be interest, there's no doubt. But you'd have to have a club that is set with guys that get on base. You couldn't have him go to a club that is a high strikeout club. I don't think he would work, like, say, with the Astros, who strike out a lot. Mm-hmm. They hit a lot of homers, but they also strike out a lot. But if you put him on a club like the Royals, where guys are always on base, and you could afford that strikeout here and there, but you could definitely take the home run every 12 at-bats or so, you know, he'd be phenomenal. And right now the Marlins are playing some pretty good baseball.
Right, right.
So there's guys getting on base in front of him, and he's been connecting for power a lot during the last 10 to 14 days. And you see the Marlins surging in the standings, and a lot of it has to do with that.
Well, and I'm bringing this up because you know and I know that there's crazy owners out there, and power sells, okay? And he's somebody that we haven't seen since McGwire, and you can go into a whole different conversation with that, and Sosa and that whole deal. And Dave Kingman's a very good comparison, Pedro. You and I saw Dave Kingman. There's a big segment of the audience that would say, who? Go look it up. Go see the YouTube. And you're either going to see home runs a long ways where he's barely swinging the bat in a Mets uniform or a Cubs uniform, or you're going to see him strike out a ton. You know, he had a very breezy approach, too, except most times he couldn't hit a ball.
You're talking about a .220 hitter who could hit 38 to 42 home runs a year.
Yep. The Paul Goldschmidt, so here we are at the All-Star break. The team over here is the biggest disappointment in the major leagues this season after everything that was built up, in my humble opinion, and you may say, no, I look at this organization, that organization, and maybe I'm right in the middle of the force because I feel that way, is he changed his agent, right? That's what I've heard. And you don't change.
I've read the same thing too.
Yeah. And you don't change agents unless there's something going on. And I don't want to see this get away from him. We had Derek on back in March, and Derek explained away why they haven't extended him. Is he happy here? Have you talked to him?
You know, I talked to him yesterday, and he's always been pretty open when I've spoken to him. So, He is absolutely happy in Arizona. He's not a guy that is always looking at the other yard to see if, you know, hey, are things better over there on that side? Mm-hmm. But having said that, you know, an agent will sit a player down and explain to him, okay, I understand that you're very happy in Arizona, but you're going to be a free agent. You're at a prime age to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. The market for a player like you is enormous, and you know, look at your years in Arizona. There hasn't been a lot of contending going on. If that's something that is important to you, you've got to, you know, think about, because Paul Goldschmidt is not the type of guy that is going to be led by an agent. He is a very strong-willed, you know, I'm going to make the decision based on what I want to do. But an agent's job is also to explain different scenarios. And at that point, Paul Goldschmidt, you know, wouldn't be a human being if he weren't at least going to listen. He's very level-headed.
Right.
So he is going to listen to everything that is explained to him. And if being on a consistent contender is something that he wants to do, you can bet that the market for a guy like that is going to be enormous. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the case, Brad, but if you look at expiring contracts and when Goldschmidt is eligible to be a free agent, well, Adrian Gonzalez's time with the Dodgers is coming to an end very quickly. Paul Goldschmidt is going to be a free agent very quickly. If you just look at kind of connecting the dots, you know that the Dodgers are an organization that can open their checkbooks much wider than any organization in baseball. You never know. I'm just saying, you never know.
No, I gotcha. I gotcha. You weren't surprised by Ziegler being traded, or were you, and who's next off this roster in Arizona?
No, I can't say that. I think that, you know, you look around and you see that things are just not going to happen for the Diamondbacks this season.
Right.
So, you know, you've got a guy that is an asset in Brad Ziegler. He's got good numbers. He's a back end of the bullpen type guy, whether that be ninth inning or eighth inning. I will say this, that the message that it sends, though, inside the clubhouse is probably a good one, in the sense that Brad Ziegler was sent to the Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
He was not sent to the Minnesota Twins, to, you know, a club that is languishing somewhere in the bottom. He was sent to a contender where he is going to play for one of the most storied franchises in baseball. And so they at least did him right, so to speak. And that's something that does play well inside the clubhouse. Guys will genuinely be happy for Brad Ziegler. Like, hey, he wound up with the Red Sox. They're two games out of first place. You know, it's a great franchise. They have play in front of packed houses every night. Good for Brad. Good for the Diamondbacks sending him to a club like that. It definitely shows that the white flag is being risen. And I would expect there to be a couple of more trades. I don't know that they're going to revamp everything. I think they may give this nucleus one more shot at trying to do something next season. But, you know, you just look at guys like Daniel Hudson, who's also going to be a free agent at the end of the season. And I know that he's had some hard luck outings, but scouts look at the stuff and they see that, okay, yes, his numbers aren't great. He's had some hard luck outings, but the stuff is great and he'd be worth, you know, getting in a trade. And if you see Daniel Hudson traded to a contending club, that again shows where the Diamondbacks are doing their players right.
Okay, I got about a minute left. And this is a broad question and maybe it's better for another week, but I'm going to run it up the flagpole by you anyways. Stu, La Russa, Derek, could you see Ken Kendrick coming down off the mountain from Colorado and making changes down here with any of those three?
I'm hearing no. I'm hearing no. And I did speak to Goldschmidt about this, and he's one thing he told me is Chip has not lost the room. Chip still has the room. There's absolutely – that's not the reason that things haven't gone well. Things haven't gone well because guys just haven't performed. So when you hear a guy like Paul Goldschmidt, who's not going to give you a sugar-coated answer, if that weren't the case, he would have just – talked in circles and gone in a different direction. But for him to come out and say Chip has not lost the room, that tells you a lot right there. And Ken Kendrick has been somebody who is, you know, he's got an itchy trigger finger.
Yep.
He has made some rash decisions in the past. But I think that when they hired Tony La Russa, it was with the understanding that Tony and Dave Stewart would have, they would have the say. And so I don't see it happening now, but with Ken Kendrick, you just never know.
Yeah. You and I know this, you and I know this, and that's just kind of, to me, the unknown in the whole deal. And I can't see them pulling the plug on Chip, and Dave and Tony have been here. Derek's been here a long time. And you know, when Derek, and when Derek was sent out on the stadium thing in March, it didn't go well from a lot of people's views. So I'm not going to sit here and say everything's going to be tip-top and all stay together. I would not be surprised that Ken makes a move. That's just how he's been. So, well, happy
always. That's his history.
Yep. Happy hunting tonight. Have a good time with it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Brad.
See you, Pedro. It's Pedro Gomez with us. ESPN Baseball Insider. Is always good to catch up with Pedro. Pedro Gomez joins us every week here on Sports360AZ.com. Paul Coro is next. AZ Central Suns Insider. He's in Vegas playing the blackjacks, screwing around. No, he's not. He's covering the Suns, the Summer Suns, and their young players. That's next. Good Tuesday. All-Star Game is tonight. Thanks again to Pedro Gomez from San Diego. Pedro joins us every week. Now we turn our attention to Las Vegas. AZ Central Suns Insider, all-around good guy, fan favorite, Paul Coro. Actually, the award-winning Paul Coro just hit me as I'm coming off vacation. What was that award you were given in Charlotte, and then you went down and to Costa Rica and screwed around? What was the whole deal on that? What'd you get in Charlotte again there, Paul?
I beat Pedro Gomez out for Desert Vista Dad of the Year.
Thunder! You guys played AC/DC loud at your house, right?
Thunderstruck, yeah. No, it was an Arizona Sports Writer of the Year award, which is very nice.
Arizona Sports Writer of the Year award, that's pretty prestigious. How did this come about, you, Paul?
I don't think anybody else was eligible this year. So
empty nomination, huh?
Well,
that's very cool, and in all seriousness, deserved, so congratulations on that. I think from a distance, you're covering probably one of the most, if not the most interesting summer league team in the NBA. And it's not because they've won two games. It's just you got a whole bunch of new things to write about and like this big pile of goo that they're trying to put together. They've won their first two games. What do you make out of the summer league Suns so far?
Yeah, I look around at other teams and I think there's a lot more legit reason for me to be here than some of these people that are covering these other teams, you know, that maybe have one or two guys on them, you know, that the whole Suns starting lineup for the summer league has been legit roster people that are intriguing in one way or the other, either battling for a spot like Alan Williams or we're just starting to peel back the onion on Marquise Chris and Dragan Bender and Tyler Ulis. So it's been pretty impressive. I know like there's a lot of rawness that we're seeing in the early going, and all, you know, people are maybe a little bit concerned right now about Dragan Bender after his last game, but I'll just remind you that at this point last year, Devin Booker was 0-for-8 on three-pointers. So it doesn't necessarily bode for a career if a guy struggles in his first couple summer league games.
Well, and it's not that I'm the best talent evaluator in the world, but watching the two, Bender and Chris, I actually like some of the things I see out of Bender. Chris is going to do the spectacular thing, but he's going to be in foul trouble a lot. That's what he did at Washington. He had seven fouls the other day in their second game, and they don't foul out on those. He's just so raw. That's the thing that jumps out at both these guys, is they're such projects, to me, at least.
Yeah, I think Bender's actually a little bit farther along just because he's been around pro basketball since he was 15.
Yeah.
And he's been around adults with Maccabi Tel Aviv, you know, grown professional men in their, you know, mid, late 20s, 30s. So even though he doesn't have the experience of playing very much there, he's comfortable. He's got a feel for the game. You can see it in his skills that he's, you know, he's a guy who spent all day, every day in basically a basketball academy for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can grab a rebound and dribble it up court and pass to a wing. He can hit a floater. His shooting hasn't been good, but it looks good, you know, technically, yep. Form-wise. So, and I think, you know, everybody wants to assume every European is going to be soft, and I don't really see that in him so far. In the first game, I saw him throw an elbow at a guy under the basket on a rebound. I saw him try to fly in and grab a miss on an offensive rebound and put it back. He didn't do it, but he at least tried to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So good things with him, and like you said with Chris, it's just flashing. It's like one moment you don't think he has a clue what he's doing, and then the next minute you're just, wow, what was that? You know, right. Rocking a dribble back and forth and dribbling in and spinning off a wing player or grabbing a rebound and putting it back with one hand in one motion. He's got exceptional spring for a 6'10 guy, and you know, he's only been around the game for 4 or 5 years now, so we're just starting to pull the layers off him.
We're talking with Paul Coro, AZ Central Sports, and the Arizona Sports Writer of the Year winner, because nobody else ran against him, according to Paul. He joins us from the Vegas Summer League. The Suns have their game against Miami this afternoon at 3:30. It's on NBA TV for you Suns fans. Is Booker going to play? Is there any reason for him to still even be in Vegas? He looks so good.
Yeah.
His body's changed. He's so confident. Is he going to play today?
You know, he might play again, and if he does, it'll probably be the last one. He wasn't supposed to play the other night, but he wanted to because it was on ESPN2.
Okay.
And he's still a 19-year-old kid who was on a bad team that didn't get on television last year, so that still means something right now, I guess, to him. Plus, he's like you said, he's a different guy, but he's enjoying the fire out of this because he's getting to play with his buddy Tyler Ulis. I mean, those guys are best friends. They've known each other since middle school, and they chose Kentucky together and were roommates. So, I mean, that's a big kick for him. But you're right, he's a different guy out there. I hate to say he's got like cockiness to him, because it's a good cockiness. It's a fun cockiness. It's a love of the game kind of. He's got some swagger out there about him, and he's a man among boys, even though he's 19. He's just dominating the game when he's on the floor.
No, and you have to remind people that he's playing against guys that for the most part are D League, going to play overseas or not even play at all, and that's just what happens in summer league. Some teams, some rosters are built better than others, and what struck me about him, you talk about his cockiness. So Paul, after the game, I think it was actually after both games, he used the term "my team." Okay, I thought this was Eric Bledsoe's team, and there's always this "whose team" or "my teammates." And so when I hear that, that is a sign of alpha to me, which is good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just I'm still of the opinion that if you look at this roster top to bottom, they do have some pretty interesting young players that some moves have to happen off of this roster, because there's log jams still in the backcourt and in playing time, and our guys are going to be happy and all that stuff. And these two kids can't just come sit on the bench because Ryan drafts two kids in the top 10. There's no way they're going to sit. So somebody's minutes are going to be set to the side. I guess the overriding question is this Booker's team in your view?
I don't think it's his team yet. It's his future. You know, like he's definitely, when you want to put a great team together, you got to have like, you know, usually two or three stars. And so you've established that he's one of them. And I think that's part of what gives the Suns patience right now to go through this. You're seeing them embrace youth more than ever, especially with the draft picks, because now you, now one of your pieces is 19, and you can envision a long-term future because he's not going to hit his prime until 6-7 years from now. Like,
right.
He's really good, but he won't be at his best until he's like 26. So that'll really make you buy into the idea of building something for the long term. And he's the great thing about this summer for him is that it's like leadership academy for him. You know, he's younger than everybody on the team except for their Bender and Chris, but they're all looking to him like he's the man, and he's the one that gathers them up in a practice huddle when they screw up, and the coaches just kind of look at him and nod their head like, okay, get them together, tell them what they need to be doing, tell them what's wrong. So it's a great thing for him, and then he's going to turn around next week and be on the select team and watch how all those national team guys carry themselves. And he knows his place. It's not like he thinks he's going to be an Olympian someday, but he knows right now he needs to learn from those guys.
Am I right or wrong about the roster being heavy with kids?
You know, they bounced it out a little bit by adding Dudley and Barbosa. So now you got a couple extra 30-something guys to go with Tyson Chandler and P.J. Tucker. But, yeah, they're definitely leaning toward the youth. And, you know, I think the last few years we've seen kind of a desperation to just get in the playoffs.
Right.
By whatever means necessary. And they think they're a lot better than people give them credit for right now. But if they're not, it's not going to kill them as long as they're taking steps with those young guys forward. But you're right about the, you know, moves still to come. You still wonder how the Bledsoe Knight Booker thing will play out to get those guys all time. You know, eventually Booker might be able to play some three, but he's still pretty light right now for that, although he has grown to 6'7", so.
And he played some three. It looked like in the Portland game he was playing some three to me, you know.
Yeah, he's played point, he's played three. Yeah. You know, and the Suns are trying to – they try to get away from an emphasis on what position guys are. They call it positionless basketball, and, you know, I'm sure they're envisioning – putting all those guys out there. Jared Dudley's a power forward in this league now. With how ridiculous would that have sounded in 2009-10, you know?
My thing with Dudley and Barbosa is, I get the whole veteran thing, but can they still be productive for 20 to 30 minutes a game? I don't know that. It's easy to say, well, this is what they did in Golden State and Washington, but when it goes for older players.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen guys hit the wall. My classic example of that was back in the beginning when I was covering team. Jim Jackson joined the Suns and hit about 40% of his threes his first season with them, and then didn't look like he could play the game at all the next year. He was just done.
Yep.
After a good career, he was just done. And with Barbosa, there's less risk. You know, the guarantee's just pretty much for the first year. And he was a rotation guy on the winningest team of all time in the NBA. So he still got something, which is amazing after, you know, he went through the ACL surgery and was pretty much out of the league playing in a league in Brazil with no NBA teams interested. It's a great story for him to just even get back. And Dudley, you know, it might just be 1 year of starting, and he knows that. He's willing to just be the guy that, you know, he's just got a contract that he probably never dreamed of. And so if he just has to teach these other two guys for 2 years and get one of them ready to start and then step aside and be a guy who just comes off the bench and hits threes 15 minutes a game, that's what he's going to be fine with doing then. And that was a big part of signing him, was having a guy who's going to be willing to have that kind of role.
Paul, there's a lot of players this summer. I'll let you go off this when you get a thought. There's a lot of players this summer that are getting contracts they never dreamed of. I mean, some of the numbers this summer – for some play, I'm not just talking about with Suns. I'm talking about across the league. It's this guy got $30 million. This guy, there's numbers out there this summer that are just asinine to me for guys that really are fringe players this year.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, it started with the Mozgov one, which just blew me away.
Yeah,
and I knew it was coming. We knew that the cap spiked. We knew that everybody had cap space to go spend on a market that wasn't really deep in free agency, so there was going to be overspending. But, you know, I like Solomon Hill, but he was averaging like 4 points a game in Indiana, and now he's making huge money.
Huge money.
And it's all the sad part for a lot of guys is it's all about timing. Like John Lure had perfect timing in his career to be a free agent right now and get $10 million a year because, you know, 2 years ago he's barely in the NBA on minimum contracts. He hits the Suns in a year where he can play minutes and show a little bit of game, and now he's got a multi-year eight-figure contract. And, you know, the players have themselves to blame for this because I'm sure there's a lot of guys under contract that are frustrated, but they're the ones who voted to not smooth out the cap.
Yeah.
It could have been, they could have avoided this giant spike where you're just lucky if you're a free agent this year and had it spread around the league, but they chose to do it this way.
Let's go off that. I love talking with you. I could go another 15, 20 minutes because there's so much going on. Tim Duncan, I didn't even get to with you, but catch up with you down the road. Appreciate your time and congratulations on the award.
Thank you very much, Brad.
Stay well. There's Paul Coral from Vegas, AZ Central Suns insider. You know, I don't like to single out people, but I know Eric feels this way too. Paul's kind of a nightmare and has a lot of maintenance to deal with. Right? Like, of all the people we have on, Paul's the hardest to get to say, yeah, I'll come on with you.
No.
And he doesn't have any good restaurant recommendations.
No.
And
even though I have referred him to restaurants.
And he's just cranky all the time.
Not good at his job.
No.
Not a good person.
No. Like, he's everything that's... He's the best of the best, isn't he? I don't want to take away from Pedro. Or any of our others. Paul is going to get offended by
this. Yeah, I'm not going to go down that
or
road.
Or Peter, or, you know, Fabiano.
Our insiders are like
Jake.
Our insiders are like our kids. You can't have a favorite. They're all our favorites.
Oh, I have a favorite. I've got these nitwit kids that are making me play Pokemon Go on my iPhone. Like, they come to me, this monster of an 11-year-old that I have comes to me and says, I need an iPhone. Like, get out of here. You don't need an iPhone. I gave you the hand-me-down phone, like three hand-me-downs. Well, why do you need it? Because of Pokemon Go. Well, I don't want to know about Pokemon Go. And then it becomes the biggest thing around. And all of a sudden, I've got to download Pokemon Go on my phone. So yesterday, I'm at lunch. I'm like, well, I'll just see what this Pokemon Go thing does. So I open it up, and there's all these Pokemon. So I get my Pokeball, and I go to the Pokestick, and I'm just nailing Pokemons right and left. And I hear that there's other dads like me that are in this disastrous relationship. Like my 20-year-old daughters, both of them are, you're playing Pokemon Go? How awesome are you? Back with more after this timeout. So over the next month, there's going to be a lot about the Olympic Games. And golf is going to be one of the things that we were going to talk about, but now we're not. The British Open's at Royal Troon this week. We will talk about that. It gets started on Thursday. Eric is leaving tomorrow for Vegas for Hollywood. Eric's going to Hollywood for Pac-12 Football Media Day. So sports360az.com will be in Hollywood Thursday and Friday at Pac-12 Football Media Day. Plenty of content here on the show, online, social media, and all that stuff. I wouldn't say that this is not the best year for the Pac-12 in terms of buildup, other than they have a Heisman Trophy candidate, in my opinion, the leader, and that's Christian McCaffrey. And Josh Rosen's a nice name at quarterback over at UCLA. But I wouldn't say top to bottom that this is the sexiest Pac-12 football media day, and I heard attendance is way off this year. Part of that is because Big Ten is going on at the same time, and the SEC started earlier this week. And Thursday, Nick Saban is going to talk about Alabama, so national media is there. I'm circling back over to golf, though, because Jordan Spieth is the latest to withdraw from the Olympic Games. And Jordan Spieth is somebody that only cares about the game. He's not one of these guys I think is brand-centric first. And I'll tell you a guy that is taking a lot of heat today is Rory McIlroy, because McIlroy, he bailed out on the Olympics as well. The thing about McIlroy is his comments, while Spieth's were, this is really hard for me to do and it's very difficult and I want to represent my country, McIlroy was just basically on the lines of, I'm looking forward to seeing the events that really matter. And so there was a whole bunch of conversation about who's going to be at the Olympic Games. And Jason Day's now not going. Dustin Johnson's not going. Jordan Spieth's not going. Rory McIlroy's not going. And McIlroy's like, yeah, I'm going to pay attention to track and the sports that really matter. I don't know if golf deserves to be in there or not. It seems to me that you have enough golf events that are played around the world and trying to force it in and wedge it in. Doesn't it, Eric, feel like that's one of those sports that's wedged in? Those guys
a little
are
bit. And isn't the Ryder Cup sort of like
it's kind
the
of that.
Olympics in a way?
Yes. Yes. In my, but the difference is those guys are all getting paid. Big Jack. They've already on the tour. They've already, they're at the Greater Milwaukee Open.
Right.
Riding a John Deere. You know, they're at these little events that roll through, along with the big ones as well, the majors. So there's something that's not quite they're out there every year.
And I don't when I think of Olympics, I just don't think golf.
I don't either. And I like golf, but you know, I don't see Michael Phelps every 4 years. I mean, every year I see him every 4 years. Yeah, he's bounced around here, but for me, it's kind of like USA basketball. And Jerry and I would have a very, very antagonistic view of the Olympics one to another in terms of basketball. I just view it purely as this is a money grab for these guys. This is only something to expand their brand, not the United States brand. It's kind of like when I see the U.S. Olympic gymnasts. Okay, all those girls that make the gymnastics team are going to go on in life. Their lives are pretty much set now unless they just go nuts and lose their minds.
But I will say this, Brad, about Team USA basketball. They definitely say the right thing.
Oh, sure they say
it. They make it sound like it's for their country and representing. And
how many, you know, the shoe contract's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
The whole endorsements that they're going to get out of it.
Yep.
You know, I'm watching the Olympic trials in track the other night, and in commercial breaks, guys that hadn't qualified to make the Olympics yet, as soon as they make the team, like the next spot break is commercial break in language speak, is them face fronting towards a camera pitching an item. So they already have people that are working with them. Doesn't matter what manufacturer, what brand it is. It's, look, you're going to go qualify, you're going to make it, and then we're going to blow you up big time. Used to be, okay, they'd go out, they'd represent the country. The Olympics would be finished. At the end of the Olympics, that's when they'd get all the money and all the jack and all the perks. They could say we don't get paid until it's over with, but they're getting paid. It's just, it's a different way of getting paid. They're getting paid from endorsing things. That's what the whole Olympic brand is about.
And basketball is different because you're selected to compete in the Olympics instead of having to
get your way onto a
correct
team.
Correct, yeah.
Qualify.
Thank you.
I mean, that's in basketball, you can't qualify. It's a team sport. It's not an individual sport.
True.
So there's politics, and there's what sells best, what team looks best to send out on the floor to represent the United States. And sometimes it's not even the best team that's out there. It's just, oh, this is a team that's going to get everybody interested. The Dream Team was an anomaly. The Dream Team was something that was phenomenal for our country at the time. Now, as we're sitting here getting ready for the Olympics this year, yeah, I'll watch a little bit of it, but I think I'd rather see the distance swimmers that have to swim in the trash and the fecal matter and the green, dirty water in Rio that is out there that's contaminated. That's the guy I want to see. Like, they're going to be glowing when they get out of the water. It'll be fun. It'll be great. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being with us. Plenty of content up on our website at Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussman.